Are you looking for a book to boost your child's self-esteem and image? Listen to what six-time Emmy Award winner and Nobel Peace Prize nominee Shawn Duperin has to say about the Journey of Joy children's book series. She says, quote, "It's inspiring to find a children's book series that gets to the heart of why we're here and to enjoy life's journey. It is truly compelling. It reinforces your child's strong sense of self, the essence of what every parent wants for their precious child. I highly recommend," end quote. The four inspiring and beautifully illustrated books in the Journey of Joy children's book series, authored by Beth Donnelly and Dagny Grant, can be found on Amazon.com. Sharing the wisdom of positive I am statements, these books are titled I Am Enough, I Am Unique and Awesome, I Am Great, and I Am Brave. Pick up a set for the children in your life today. Just go to Amazon.com and enter Journey of Joy Series. That's Journey of Joy Series. Welcome to the Echoes of the Universe radio show, brought to you by Matrix Productions. Conscious Conversations with Dagny Grant and Beth Donnelly, sharing thought-expanding moments to nourish your soul.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Echoes of the Soul, brought to you by Matrix Productions. This is Dagny Grant, and I'm here with my co-host Beth Donnelly for a conversation with Robert O. Williams, who has both a remarkable resume and life story. Robert is not only the author of the recently released Love is the Power, Moving Humanity from Fear to Love book, but he is also the inventor and developer of quantum code technology and sympathetic resonance technology as the co-founder of 108 Inc., a Portland-based innovative technology company. Now, you may recall that Robert was with us on a program several weeks ago, but there were so many cool things that we weren't able to get to during the time allotted that he graciously accepted the invitation to come back, and we are very grateful for that. We're looking forward to continuing that conversation. But just in case you weren't able to catch the first show with Robert, let me just say that 108 is an innovative global technology company with a mission to improve the lives of all human beings worldwide by developing and bringing to market scientifically based life-changing mobile apps and clean technology products that improve the health, performance, and lifestyles of its customers. And that's one of the things we're going to dive deep into today. In addition, Robert co-developed a way to revitalize drinking water, restoring the molecular relationships of H2O to match those of pristine healing waters found around the planet. And this research was conducted by world-renowned water expert and material scientist Professor Rustam Roy at Penn State University. We're going to talk a little bit about that too. But before I share a little more about our guest today and we bring him on to the show, let me bring my co-host Beth Donnelly in to check with us. Hi, Beth. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Dagny. It's a beautiful day here in Portland, Oregon, and I am really looking forward to another conversation with Robert O. Williams. This is going to be so cool. You know, last time we talked about his book and his saxophone and the Beach Boys and Transcendental Meditation, and it was all so fabulous and so interesting. And I know you and I were talking about the Heart app that we wanted to discuss with him this time a little bit more in depth. And so that would be really very interesting. So can't wait to get going on this discussion.
Yeah, that is going to be really fun. So we have the West Coast covered between the three of us. I'm in Southern California. Robert, you're still in Northern California, right?
I am. North of Sacramento.
And then Beth is in the Portland area, so we are West Coast representing the West Coast today. Okay, let me just tell you guys a little bit more about Robert O. Williams before we bring him on officially to have this conversation. As an expert in the study of subtle energy engineering and its effects on physical systems, Robert's research has provided scientific breakthroughs in field-based technologies, consciousness, and human potential. In addition to being an inventor and author, Robert has also enjoyed success as a musician and educator. He taught music at the university level and recorded and performed with such artists as the Beach Boys, Paul Horn, and Charles Lloyd. The direction of Robert's life and career changed in 1979 when he had a near-death experience. From that point on, he devoted all of his time and energy toward researching consciousness and subtle energy, along with conventional physics and medicine. Since then, he worked with numerous prominent professors and scientists from Stanford University, the University of California at Berkeley, Pennsylvania State University's Department of Materials Sciences, and the University of California, Irvine's Department of Biology. I love this stuff. I'm so excited to have this conversation today. After this near-death episode, Robert's study of the relationships between particle physicality and the spaces between particles, or non-physical domains, led him to the discovery of the technology that he claims saved his life. He calls the discovery more of a revelation than anything else. After years of struggle, he suddenly comprehended the profound interconnectedness of nature and the innate intelligence at the foundation of all life. He then left the music business to study that technology as it affected the growth rate and health of sprouts and plants. He co-founded Coherence Industries in 1985, that served to begin extensive research and development of devices and products for the masses. In January of 1991, Robert co-founded Claris Products International and Claris Transphase Scientific, which has sold more than 1,700,000 products worldwide to date. Very exciting stuff. His book describes in raw detail how his life journey continued to turn from one direction to another, eventually leaving him struggling for his life, and the unexpected revelation that through various means has improved the quality of life for millions of people worldwide. Robert currently lives in the Northern California country with his wife and his 11-year-old daughter. She's still 11?
She just turned 12, September 14th.
Just turned 12. I just had a feeling that she might not still be 11. And their horse, Lucky, is Lucky still with you?
Lucky definitely is still with us.
Welcome to the program, Robert. Thank you for joining us again.
Oh, Dogney and Beth, it's such a pleasure to be on your show once again. You have a powerful community, and you're doing such good work.
Thank you so much. We like to hope so, for sure. It's that whole, you know, what can we do to make a mark on the world, right? To leave it better than we found it, and it sounds like you have certainly done more than your share of that. Speaking of that, I would really like to start out by talking about quantum code technology and what is it and how did you invent it, and just, you know, if you could just share what you can with our audience about that. It's a pretty cool thing, and we're really excited about sharing it with our folks.
Sure. You know, it sounds technical, quantum code technology. But there are technicalities to it, but the most important part of this technology is that it's innate. It is part of our own humanity. And so then what is it doing specifically? It is enhancing our inherent blossoming phase. And that means, for instance, plants go through different phases from the seed to the sprout to the stem and so forth. All living things go through phases of expression or phases of their manifest potential. And then actually all things, even rocks, they have their long periods of a phase of hardness, and then something else happens. When I was coming back to my body in 1979, I saw all kinds of wonderful things, including a dimension that was full of geometries, mandalas, ratios of energy that was quite fascinating. And once I got back in my body and cleaned up a bit, I wrote all these symbols that I had seen down, I wrote them down, and I began to research, wonder why I saw those symbols. What did they represent? Was it something special for me? Certainly, they weren't special for me. It turns out that in all the indigenous religions and all the indigenous cultures, the ancient religions, and even in our current artistic expressions, there are certain ratios that are showing up that have been around for a long time. That's what this 108 quantum code technology is. There's 108 specific sacred geometries that have to do with changing humanity from one phase to the next. So we're on a bridge. We know that life can be better. That's why you guys are doing what you're doing and why your work is so important. There is a bridge we're on that is attempting to upgrade consciousness. And on one level, a lot of that bridging is automatic. It has to do with these information fields in our very cells, in our very essences. And it also encourages participation because, unlike, you could say, plants are governed by nature and they have these wonderful, miraculous changes they go through, but as far as I know, they don't individually participate in that blossoming. They are part of a larger force, a beautiful larger force, but they are not thinking individually. They're not sentient. There could be some arguments with that, but in terms of just the relationship with humans, we have the ability to think. We have the ability to ask questions. Who am I? What am I here for? Just that ability increases our opportunities for co-creating our own destinies. And so we have this automatic blossoming that's happening. So these frequencies or these codes are now sounding out. They're now lively more than ever before on this planet. And then we have our own free wills, our own abilities to choose where our attention goes that will interact with different things and hopefully interact with our hearts in a way that not only begins to heal ourselves and begins to heal our wounds, but also have an effect on mass consciousness. So that's what it is. What we've been able to do is with Dr. William Tiller at Stanford, you mentioned him, and some other really smart people, we've been able to take those frequencies or those ratios and create field generators with them. So instead of looking at a mandala or looking at a sacred geometric configuration, we're actually getting the essence of those frequencies through, first it was radio waves, then it was digital waves, and now we have it so that you can download an app. And when you turn this app on, these very same frequencies that are in us, that are in our own process of awakening, that are in nature itself, begin to become enhanced, become more available to us. So that was the quantum code technology as applied to an app, a phone app. And you can go to the App Store or the Google and just download it. The other thing that is so cool is that we did a test over 2 years looking at the effects of a person with a cell phone, with this app on, the real app, and then we had a sham app. And double-blind study, very well-conducted test by Dr. Beverly Rubik. And she found that the ones who were using the real app, and these were all coded and later found out, the codes were revealed, that their heart rate variability increased, which is a cardiological index for stress. So if your HRV, heart rate variability, increases, that means your stress is going down. That means your heart is more able to adapt in a moment-by-moment configuration that is more attuned to your optimal performance. And definitely It's a signifier of less stress. So that is, it happened in spite of me. You know, this is not something that came out of my brain or my analytical limited intelligence. This is something that was always there in nature that we've just found a way to enhance.
Well, so let me ask you a question about this. This is called your Heart Plus app, right? And you said that you can get that on. You can go. Everybody, just to let you know, you can go to the website that is on the screen as you're listening to this show on Blog Talk Radio. The link will be right there that you can click on. Otherwise, it's www.loveisthepower.com, and you can just literally download the app for either Mac or iPhone or Android. And you just, as far as you just turn it on, basically, right? You don't have to do anything. It's not a process you do every day. It just is on your phone. Is that correct? It's just in the on position.
It's just on, exactly. You don't have to do anything. It's like a walk in nature. It's just adding those natural frequencies, those energies of nature, and we are nature. Our bodies came from nature, so it provides the body with an environment of natural energy, and we begin to feel better, and this heart rate variability study confirms that. But you don't have to, it's not like a practice. Every 2 hours you do something. Practices are fantastic, and I love the fact that we're all engaged in certain ways to improve the quality of our life, to raise our consciousness. But this app, you don't have to do anything. You just turn it on. It's a one-time fee of $1 or $2, I think. And you also become part of a, let's just call it a research that we're looking at. It doesn't make, we were not taking any of your information, your private information, but it does give us a reading as to where these apps are being purchased from and where the location, just from where you're entering the Google website or the App Store. So in other words, if people in the Bay Area are catching on, then we can see that the Bay Area is attempting to get 1% or closing in on 1%, and maybe New York. And so it's kind of there's a map on this app, and you can see where other people are using the app. What we're looking at is real indicators that the quality of life, as we are connected with our own natural energies, as we are in this virtual community, and our intentions of higher consciousness, of less suffering, are part of this organization, we're hoping to have an influence globally. And if for instance, the Bay Area gets 1% before it's a friendly competition, then their crime rate might go down. There might be some improvement of the quality of life in San Francisco. 1% is a big deal, because that's where nature, if there's a 1% community or a 1% system that has, sorry, if there's a system that has 1% of order in it, and the order is coherent, and that's what the heart does, but it doesn't matter, like in laser beams, it's 1% of photons being coherent, then it has the effect to, it has the ability, it's a law of nature that it affects the other 99%. So incandescent light jumps into a laser beam 100 million times as powerful, and like that, there's 1% examples throughout nature. I used to love reading about the 100th monkey. Have you guys heard about that
yes.
whole theory? Yeah. Now, currently they say it really didn't happen and it was debunked, and I spoke with Rupert Sheldrake. But just the idea that at a certain point there is a sudden increase in consciousness. And so the idea was a bunch of monkeys on an island began eating sweet potatoes or washing their sweet potatoes and not getting sick because they were eating sweet potatoes that were dirty prior. And then at a certain point on one of the islands, all the other monkeys on all the different islands felt the same intelligence, and they all evolved. And there are examples of quantum jumps or sudden advances in society, and it follows this idea that you just need a certain amount, and then it jumps boundaries. This our local consciousness, which is not really local anyway, but our local consciousness in harmony with a few others has an effect much greater than just the sum of those parts. So that's where we're looking at this 1% idea.
Robert, this is so fascinating. What you were just talking about, how it jumps into other locales and how it spreads, it kind of reminded me of a story that my husband and I heard when we were in Maui, and they were talking about the whales, and that at the same time each year, they start singing the same song, and it's a different song. And so, isn't that interesting? I have no idea whether or not they have any information to back that up, scientific information, or whether it's just folklore, but that's something that they were telling people about the whales. So
I was just going to say real quickly, it's one of the things Beth and I have actually been doing some research on recently. A friend of ours said that that it's well documented that one positive person's energy outweighs a million people's negative energy.
Yeah.
And so we actually were spending time online trying to find if that had actually been scientifically validated in any way. And we so far have been unable to find any actual scientific validation. But I think that it speaks to the research that that you guys are doing with seeing what the percentages of people in certain areas have the app on, and what happens with the crime rate in those areas, or what happens, you know, with various statistics. So that's interesting stuff.
So
the best research that I've seen, just before we go on, the best research that I've seen, and it's very, very credible, is what the Transcendental Meditation organization has conducted. They would have 1% of the meditators in a particular city begin to meditate at a certain time and so forth, and they've documented lower crime rates and less hospital visits. And if I wish I had the website, I should have came prepared. Also, the work from James Twyman, it's there. There are really good studies that show that consciousness is the field that goes out, that it's not confined to our brains or bodies. And the meditations of these different places and crime rate and even like peace treaties being signed. So there's some good research you can look at.
Yeah,
also,
the TM,
has some good on his, yeah.
The TM study in Washington, D.C. was one of the ones that Beth and I started looking at. We haven't finished that work, but yeah, interesting stuff.
Good studies. Incredible.
But Robert,
definitely.
If it's that link, that would be great. I'd love to see that link that you're talking about. If you could send us that on email, that would be super. So in order for me to understand the HARC app a little bit better, I was wondering if you could just tell us, how did you measure and recreate those 108 energies that were used to develop the QCT?
Sure. Well, you know, let's say you're looking at your computer screen and we get one of these mandalas. And if you just Google mandalas, you'll see all kinds of mandalas there. So you're looking at something that's on your computer screen. How did it even get there? So the technology is already, somebody along the way took a picture or did a drawing and took a photograph, and that changed from some physical object to some electronic impulse, digital in this case, and it went through all satellites and all kinds of things and Ethernet or whatever is getting to your computer, and now you're looking at the mandala with all the same exact geometries. So you can imagine that the mandala really isn't on your computer. We forget, you know, these are just like TV. It's not there. Mm-hmm. It's coming from another location through technology. And it's showing up on our TV, our computer screens, on our cell phones. So the technology was already there on how to recreate these geometries, these ratios. What we did was we just found a way to recreate the energetic imprint of the mandalas without having to show the exact mandala. We might do that at some point, it's just so you could see on your phone the actual mandalas that are kind of phasing in and out. But what we have been able to do with Bill Tiller's brilliance and others is just have that energetic signature as a carrier wave on top of these other things that are happening. If we talk to somebody on our cell phone, there's the carrier wave that links two cell phones together. And then on top of that is our voices or our music or whatever is happening. And then, now this is a little step off the conventional science conversation. And then you can feel someone's emotions or a musical experience that is more than just the acoustic impressions or the tone of the voice or as shown through an oscilloscope. It's so obvious. We know that there's more information than just an acoustic or a physical dynamic happening when we talk on the phone or we talk on cell phones or, on the radio. So that is what we're broadcasting with these mandalas, the essence, that those pure ratios of energy that are configured through the cell phones and then resonating with your own subtle bodies.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that, the whole idea of the mandala first. I have one here in my office. I look at it all the time. But
cool.
The energetic imprint, yeah, it's very cool. It's the sacred geometry is so, it comes right out to you. And I like the idea of the emotions too, whether it's coming from a mandala or nature or music or whatever. I believe that there is emotion through all of it. So that's relating to me. Thank you for identifying that a little bit better. When Dagny and I were first, Dagny put it onto her phone, and she, didn't you say you felt a little something, Dagny, when you had it on there?
I did. What I was saying to Beth was, wow, that feels really intense. I don't know if I'm making it up in my head, because I want it to have make a difference, or if it's really real. But I definitely felt a flow of energy through my body. There's no doubt about that when I turned the application on.
That energy that you felt was your own energy that just now had a chance to become more obvious to you or express itself. We're confronted with all kinds of stressful influences these days, environmentally and emotionally. So what the app does is just allowed that condition for your own essence to become more available to you. And your own essence is love.
Yeah.
In its various forms.
There was another question about how does the app differentiate between a frequency of like anxiety versus excitement?
Right. Well, it goes to the conversation about our essence, and we have our physical bodies, and we have seven chakras, and we have actually a million different chakras, little energy vortices that conduct energy in different ways throughout our bodies and throughout our families and our humanity at large. But the main ones, as you've probably heard, is the seven chakras. And so each chakra is responsible for certain aspects of our lives. If our liver needs more energy because it's toxic, the solar plexus or the third chakra will begin to open that porthole to your innate intelligence that will cause a detoxing, for instance. And there's many, many variations. So our chakras are always spinning at a certain rate, and then they carry these superharmonics and subharmonics on them into our physiologies. Now, I just forgot your question. Now, how's that for being clear? Could you ask? I forgot where I was going with it.
You were answering it really well.
Well, good.
Yeah. It was the differentiating between a frequency of anxiety versus excitement.
Okay, yeah. When we take a walk in nature, or we look at a sunset, right? We look at something beautiful, sunset or a valley or anything like that in nature. We don't become anxious. Now, we might be anxious prior to that, but the energies, the frequencies of nature particularly in those conditions, resonate with our calmness, resonates with our ability, with our ability to resonate with truth and beauty and awe. And those are frequencies inside of ourselves. If we look at something terrible or we experience something terrible, then we become anxious or the pain comes. Those are also frequencies, and in the large picture, there are purposes for those frequencies, especially if there's danger. But the app, these frequencies are the ones of the awakening heart, ones of the phase transition from an ego-based or a me versus you world to a us world, to a world where that community of hearts begins to enhance our own individuality. So it comes a full, it passes through all these different phases and comes back to a full loop of our potential of humanity, which is you being completely you, me being completely me. At the same time, we know that we're one being. We're fueled by one heart. Our energy is, in essence, one love. The poets and the artists have talked about this for ages, and our own intuition knows that. And at the same time, it's now happening, and there's these. That's where these mandalas not only resonate with that awakening, it actually enhances our own creative intelligence, our own ability to heal, to live more fully. And that's love in action. That's how love moves through darkness into light, is by our own individual epiphanies and our own awakenings. And then at some point, like this 100th monkey idea, it suddenly goes out, and everyone on the planet begins to feel a different way. At least a large percentage begin to feel a different way. And then what's so beautiful, Dagny and Beth, is that, and I've seen it already in small groups, then harmful thoughts do not happen. They just, you just can't think. When you're at a higher vibration, if a thought comes to hurt somebody, at best it's just this fleeting thought. You wonder, well, how'd that get in there, you know? And at some point, you can't even think about it. You can't even think about doing something harmful. It's just not possible. And there's the key to a higher quality of life. We get enough people whose consciousness is vibrating with who they really are, attuned with the truth of the ages, which is not about killing each other and you know, for crazy reasons, or this idea that somebody's going to take from us if we're not careful. We're in the bridge, yes, there is danger, but ultimately humans have this one essential potential to live in harmony, to be creatively active and individually fulfilled along with this collective dynamic, and that's been prophesied for ages in all the different religions, and I'm seeing the symptoms more than ever, and I've been studying this since 1979. That's what's so cool, is that we don't have to teach people to be nice. It's important to do that still. I have a daughter. But these thoughts just no longer will come up.
Oh, that would be so wonderful, wouldn't it, if the world just recognized their love and oneness. That we could use a little of that right now, that's for sure.
Yeah, and we can. And as it pushes, as the forces are already in process, it's already happening. And like any existing structure, when it wants to go into a higher state of order, a higher state of reality, it has to break down at first. And that's what we're seeing. The chaos has to increase. The disorder breaks down on the level of the stem of a plant. It begins to break down. Some of the sap goes down the side. So this higher state of order, or the flower, can blossom. That's just what happens. So hopefully the breaking down of these various systems of humanity are getting to a point where the new growth can go into a hyper mode of realization. And that's why we're all doing what our hearts are asking us to do. That's why you're doing Echoes of the Soul and all the different ideas. These are intuitive symptoms that love is begging to be more active, to be more alive and real in people's lives. That's why we're motivated to do these things. It's not because of some, you know, mistake of our intuition. It is built into us.
It's built in, yes. I believe that. I love the comparison to the flower. So great.
Are we watching that on the planet right now?
Yeah.
Just a really, really, really wild, the global example of exactly what you're describing. One of the things that I just wanted to touch base about, and I know it's a big topic, that the effectiveness of the quantum code technology has been independently documented by over 30 studies, apparently, and many of those conducted at major universities. And there are scientific research papers published in prestigious peer-reviewed health journals and independent university research on quantum code technology has demonstrated an increased resistance to stress, and what you were talking about earlier, enhanced cellular performance, and improved heart function by reinforcing the key components of the human biofield. Now, those things being lab studied, double-blind studies, just to let our audience know, if you go to the website again, the www.loveisthepower.com, there is a page off of that homepage that actually goes into the details of some of these studies. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. Now, Beth and I are true believers of the frequencies of our senses and their inspired emotions having an epic impact on our health and our ability, our willingness and ability to allow happiness and abundance in all things. And you know, the sound, color, scent, feeling, the all of those things that are inspired by quantum mechanics and the Fibonacci sequence and the mandalas of the quantum code that's in the field. It's, you know, we are firm believers in all of that woo woo stuff. But I'm wondering if you could share with our folks a little bit about what kinds of double-blind studies were done that was able to actually produce documentable, verifiable research results about the efficacy of quantum code technology.
Sure. Well, the most recent one, and perhaps the most profound one, is the one I mentioned earlier with the app. And Professor Beverly Rubick, really smart, University of California, Berkeley, biophysicist. There is if you Google heart rate variability, or HRV, you'll see that it's a way in which the heart is looked at and how it's beating from one moment to another in response to living situations. And that is the test. So she hooked up people with these little things that stick on to measure the heart rate variability. It sounds like let me just take a quick aside. Heart rate variability. If your heart starts to beat statically without variation, it could mean you're approaching a heart attack. And so this is something that over the many years of doctors and cardiologists and others looking at how the heart behaves, it turns out what we need from moment to moment is a variation of heartbeat, along with all kinds of other things. We need a variation because as I lift my hand here, a little bit more blood is needed to my hand because I just lifted it. As I sit down, if I get up, you know, we're active individuals, and if the heart begins to lose its connection to the dynamism of life, it begins to beat in more of a static. Heart rate variability goes down. And if a heart cardiologist is looking at that, he or she is going to say, we've got to find out why your heart is not in touch with your life, with your body. Those are my words. I don't know if they'd ask that, but, you know, it's a symptom that's not good. So the fact that our heart rate variabilities increased with people using the app is a big deal, and it didn't just increase by a little bit. Any amount would have been great, because we know these frequencies are good. We know these mandalas are built into our own DNA and psyches, and so we knew it wouldn't do any harm. But the fact that it actually reduced the stress of these individuals on an average of 30%. The other, Beverly Rubik compared to people who meditated for 90 days, heart rate variability increased for about 15%. People who were doing massages 3 or 4 days a week, we all love massages, you know, stress went down about 7-8%. So, again, with heart rate variability. So the fact that just having this app on, just having being saturated with these natural energies, it decreases our stress by 30% is a big deal. So that was the study she did. She compared
That's
it to
amazing,
other heart rate variability
it?
Studies. Yeah, yeah.
30% is a lot.
It is. And like you, I can't remember, Dogney, were you the one that felt the energies when
yes.
you turned it on, or was it Beth?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was actually really intense, which is why I said to Beth, I said, that's really intense. I wonder if I'm making that up in my mind, because we know we can do that, right? And so, you know,
sure.
But it was really, you know, pretty intense.
Well, you know, they did a study, and they didn't do a great study, but I do know that a long time ago, they took a bunch of folks, a bunch of guys that were working in Wall Street or in Manhattan, these heavily stressed jobs, and they flew them over to Hawaii, and they just put them there. And they monitored their heart rate. They monitored their lives, the life. What do you call it? These vital signs. And all of them, at first, felt this intensity because they were so used to being in these high stressed environments and computers and cell phone, everything going off all the time. That just to be out in nature and the ocean and the birds, they all became a bit freaked out at first. I'm not saying that was your case, Dogney, but there is such a contrast with what we're usually surrounded with and what we're used to that it can feel intense at first. Keep it on. You'll start to it'll become less intense and more natural.
Well, yeah, I haven't turned it off yet. I mean, I just have it on
oh,
all
good.
The time. Yeah.
I
don't see any reason to ever turn it off.
I haven't
yeah.
put it on my phone yet, Robert, but I intend to. So I have no reaction to it yet. But when I put it on there, then I will definitely let Dogney know and you. So, but I have a question about your book. I'd like to talk a little bit about Love is the Power, your book. And in that, you mentioned that if one bypasses the potential chaos of, you know, mass consciousness thought forms and begins to resonate directly with the innate level of consciousness, then the highest possible truths will be accessed through divine influences. So
yes.
How do you suggest one avoid getting sucked into mass consciousness that doesn't serve the individual? And I know that a lot of that kind of is going on now.
It is such an important question. It is the question of, do we have a choice? Do we have a choice with our attention? And we do. And what think of thoughts. Whenever we think a thought, it is not just, it doesn't just disappear. That everything is energy. So when we think a thought, it goes out. It has an effect on our own bodies, and it goes out to our families and like that. So think of thought forms and like these clouds and these influences that are the collection of thoughts that people are thinking, and it gets pretty out there because it goes all the way back to the very first thought and all kinds of other energies. But these thought forms or societal beliefs, you can say, are definitely affecting us. So if if mass consciousness is saying it is impossible, world peace is impossible, let's say, the masses, the majority of mass consciousness is saying world peace is impossible, then if you have a thought peace is possible, it's going to be hard to hold that thought because it's, the masses are saying no way. But what you can do, and this is where meditation, if you pay attention to what you're drawn to and then choose, am I going to buy into that thought? And that's a radical one, because I know you guys think world peace is possible, but if I buy into that thought that world peace isn't possible, or that anything is not possible, that levitation is not possible, then it stifles our ability to evolve. It locks us into this mindset, and these beliefs have power. What we can do, and this is what I was able to do, I had to go through this dramatic near-death experience and learn how to go in and out of the death porthole. I would actually see this influence, this thick influence of fear that surrounds the planet or surrounds all of us as humans. And it's real. And so when we get disappointed in something or when we are afraid of something, it's not only our own fear, but it's being magnified by the fear of humanity. What can we do is stop and say, what am I thinking? Become conscious of that thought. The thought is just a small, small, small part of you. Thoughts are like, you know, helpful sometimes, but they're not completely full of the truth, which is from your heart. The heart songs, the heart vibrations are nonverbal. We feel them. We feel love. When we're holding up our children and we look at them and we love them, we're not thinking, oh, I just love you, I really love you, you know, I'm going to love you now and hopefully you'll love me back later. You know, the mind is actually way in the background. It's way in the background. And when we're just walking down the street and somebody stumbles and we naturally go to help them up, this is this is inherently human, to help each other. And we're not, you know, what's in it for me? If I help this guy, is he going to give me something? Maybe I'll get something. Maybe I shouldn't give something. The mind can come in later, but the natural condition is love. And the mass consciousness is saying love, but be careful, and love, but danger and fear at the same time. And so what we're trying to do is flip the masses into this safety or a safer relationship with the innate love. So again, how to do that is by stopping from day to day, or in these moments when we become self-aware. We could be driving somewhere and it's between these thoughts. When there's this pause, we say, oh, who am I? What am I thinking? And we'll see those thoughts, and we'll be bigger than those thoughts. We'll be greater than those thoughts. As we accept the thoughts, they might change and go up and down. There's an emotion usually associated with those thoughts. What am I feeling? Oh, I'm feeling fear. If you allow that, that's called love. If you just allow it without any agenda to fix it or to jump into some other happier emotion, just allow it for a second. That's the utilization of your heart's love. You allow unconditionally that fear or that emotion to just be there. It'll change automatically after a while. And that's bypassing mass consciousness and becoming a direct conduit for your divine potential. It's a technique like that.
Wow. So you're bypassing mass consciousness by allowing the emotion.
You're bypassing the negativity of mass consciousness. And, you know, mass consciousness also includes folks who are loving, and there's great masters out there.
Right.
So I shouldn't have said that. I should say you're bypassing all the fear, you know, and you're resonating with the qualities of love in that case.
So bypass fear by tuning into your heart vibration.
By identifying whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling. What are we thinking? What are we feeling? Ah, it's that. Accepting that. Loving that. You're not tuning into anything other than accepting what is. That quality of acceptance is unconditional love. And as we activate that unconditional love by accepting whatever we're thinking, whatever we're feeling, whatever the emotion is, love then becomes active. And usually the emotions will change. A lot of times it'll go from anger to grief, and then we have to cry a little bit, or go from grief to despair. It starts to cleanse our emotional bodies as we allow, as we accept unconditionally those emotions. And then we usually come to a point of rest, or a balanced point. And usually there's some inspiration that happens at that point. Now we get a thought that's based in our own truth, that is a thought of inspiration, or just a feeling of inspiration, and joy comes, life energy increases. So that's a technique that I use a lot.
I'm so glad you explained it like that, because I'm thinking that it's what we really need and what we want is really all innate. Like you were describing, the vibrational technology is innate in humanity, and it's all one.
Right. It's the big paradox. We cannot seek and find love. We can find the effects of love, but when we let go of the seeking, and we let go of our driven natures, just for a moment or two, love shows up. This is not a paradigm where we're discovering something we've never had before. We're changing paradigms. This is a paradigm of unveiling what is already there. And for various reasons, what we've learned to do is close down our hearts, close down our nature. And so we have that unconditional love hidden or veiled. And so this is the unveiling. And the unveiling happens not as a goal-oriented search and find mechanism. We can have goals. Goals are wonderful. We can go out and achieve wonderful things, but the true quality of love is already there. So how can you achieve it? You realize it. You let go, and it shows up.
It's remembering who we are, like you said earlier.
Exactly.
Well, I think there's a pivotal moment in people's lives where they realize that they have the option to become a neutral observer of their emotions and their thoughts and their mind and their body, and to stop going through the motions of everyday life as kind of a drone, and to actually be an observer just like what you said, the whatever arises, love that, to at least, even if you can't get to the point of loving it quite yet, or you don't have to fear it, but if you can be neutral and go, well, isn't that interesting? Isn't my reaction to that interesting? Or isn't their reaction to that interesting? There's a pivotal moment when you can become that observer, that the world just kind of changes. It shifts.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And if you have, so like if you can't love something, then you go back even further. Then what is that? Oh, I'm resisting.
Right.
Okay, be with that. Be with the pure resistance. And if I'm not comfortable with resisting, then be with the discomfort. You see, you're always greater than, your heart is always greater than anything that the mind and emotion and even our physiologies present to us. We're always more than that. And that's the aha. When we have those ahas, we know it, and our life force increases. That's where healing comes, and epiphanies and understandings and wisdom comes. And then we'll go to sleep again. We'll lose it. And we don't want to, then we try to get it back. We can't, we have to, and then what am I feeling now? I'm feeling disappointed that I don't have it.
It's a constant dance, isn't it? It's a constant dance to remember to be aware of what's going on. But I think what you just said was really important, the healing.
the drone state, where we're basically living in that state of kind of fear and victimhood, is literally feeding ourselves toxicity. And once we can become more of a neutral observer and love what appears and minimally find it fascinating from a more neutral position, what we're feeding ourselves the electrical system of our body is less toxic, and literally we become less sick. And it's that's really fun stuff. And speaking of being less sick, water is so important to the human biome, and I would love it if time has gone so fast again. Isn't this wild? We just love having you on. We're so grateful for our conversations with you.
I love being on.
Can you tell us a little bit about your technology to revitalize drinking water?
Sure.
That would be awesome.
We are the water planet, right? That's what we've been called.
Yes.
We are the water planet.
Mm-hmm.
Where the majority of everything on this planet is water. The majority of our bodies is water. And so when I was going in and out of dimensions, I realized that the most important thing that is affecting our aliveness is certainly air, but more importantly, and that's a different conversation, it's water, because water, along with its minerals, conducts consciousness. So this is something I learned with William Tiller at the Department of Material Sciences at Stanford, how the Earth makes crystals and the importance of crystals and the lattice structure of those molecules to conduct higher frequency energy or higher consciousness. So when we are properly hydrated, and that includes the salt content, sodium chloride in our bodies, and the other trace minerals and so forth, then we have the ability, we actually become clearer, we have the ability to connect with our high self or our greater wholeness, and as opposed to if we're dehydrated or the salt content is low or off, then we have fogginess. We can't connect with that innate intelligence. So there's water just in general, that very profound importance in our lives. The other thing that I found was that water from nature is rare these days because it goes through all these different ways that it gets processed and filtration, and which is important. I mean, but nature's water had a particular molecular structure, and working at Penn State, we looked at these relationships of molecules and that the structure actually increases our ability to transduce higher consciousness or be more who we are as opposed to unstructured water, which kind of clouds the connection, clouds the wires between our high self and our physical bodies. So the technology that I worked on for so many years just revitalizes the water by changing the molecular structure to these configurations which are the same as natural water before it gets polluted, before it goes, you know, as it comes down waterfalls and spirals up springs and so forth. The earth has a way of purifying and structuring water. We have a way, humanity has found a way to get it all messed up and pollute it, and then we have to purify it, and then we drink so-called dead water. It might be pure, but it's not, doesn't have that innate vitality. So our technology restores that vitality, restores, actually changes the molecular structure. You can see it through spectroscopy, and we've done tests that look at the different effects of the structured water. And when you drink it, you're just more available to yourself. You're more available like the technology. You're more in tune with your innate ability to heal, and your energy increases, your natural energy increases. So this is the water we've been working on. And I'm really excited about it because, you know, I don't have to talk to people, know that water is important. It just takes one more step to know
right.
that the quality of water is even more important.
Right.
So you all have done some tests on sprouts on your farm, is that correct?
Yeah, I did. That was a long time ago. Currently we're doing them again. Sorry, yeah. So it turns out that plants grow, the yield of plants almost double. So using this revitalized water, plants love it. They're connected to their potential blueprint, their higher potential blueprint. So plants are growing more quickly. They're healthier. The yield is greater. So we're doing those tests as well.
How do people get this revitalized water?
You know, pretty soon it'll be on the website, 108.net. www.108.net. There's some prototypes there.
Wonderful.
And soon they'll be available to the public.
Wonderful.
And everybody, just for that link will also be on the radio show where you're listening, so you can just click on that. But otherwise, that's the word one, O-N-E, and then the numbers, 08
right.
dot. So, this has been so much fun. Everybody, also just a reminder that you can pick up a copy of Robert's book and the Heart Plus app and take a look at this water technology to revitalize drinking water at www.loveisthepower.com. That will take you to everywhere you might need to be. And Robert, give us what final thoughts do you have for us?
Well, it's to recognize that we're all in this together, and to recognize the power that we have. If we practice love just by ourselves, you might say, or with just a few of us, it is the most potent energy for good, for the good of the planet, for the good of humanity. If we can help people that have been in natural disasters and go out there and, you know, that's fantastic. But if we can't, if we know that just this practice of inner love and the practice of keeping our attention, or when we forget and we remember where is our attention and we place it on that quality of love, that unconditional love in our hearts, it's like it sends out these waves of wondrous healing energy. And at some point, we'll all be celebrating the effects of this. So I want to end with my gratitude for both of you and the organization that you formed, the community of listeners and your fans, because powerful. It's very powerful because you're so full of your heart's love that it will have an effect. It already has. So I'd like to end by just saying thank you.
Well, thank you, Robert. We just enjoy talking with you so much. And now you've been back on our show two times, so that our audience can hear you twice. And please go to our site, our website, and take a listen to the show we had with Robert a few weeks ago and listen to this one now. And we are very appreciative for your visit today, Robert. Thank you so much.
Dagny and Beth, you are both awesome. It's a pleasure to be on your show, and you can have me back anytime.
Yay, that'll be so much fun. We really look forward to continuing this conversation, because there is so much to share and so much to learn, and it's part of the juiciness of life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, everybody, again, this is Robert O. Williams, the author of Love is the Power, Moving Humanity from Fear to Love. Designer, inventor, developer of quantum code technology through his application Heart Plus. You can download that at the website on the link on the show. And to everybody that's listening in, thank you again so much. We are so grateful for you tuning in every week to check out what we're talking about. We are very grateful for you. And so until next time, peace out, everybody.
Peace, everybody. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Echoes of the Universe. Join us again for conversations that inspire you to realize your endless possibilities. same time, same station, same universe.